Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming to Borders today. We are absolutely thrilled to have with us Comedy Sport Laureate John Hegley. Thank you very much. Thank you, John.
I'm going to go on. I'm going to come back on. If you can give and then you get back, that's how life works. You get what you give, so you gave nothing. So I'm going to go off stage. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to come back here, and if you give the love, then we can begin properly. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. What a beautiful welcome. We're on the radio, sir, so if you want to do that more loudly, get your coat off. Is it an anorak or is it a cagoule? It's an anorak. There's quite a difference between an anorak and a cagoule. They're not the same. I just wanted to hold it up for everybody to see. Just because I think some people may think... How many actually would think that is a... Do you want to bring it over to the microphone so the listeners can hear? Now, what do you think that is, listeners? A cagoule or an anorak? The play... Yesterday I went to see a play in my friend's car. It was by an experimental group who do plays in people's cars. The snub. At school I used to play a lot of Sabutio, a table football game, and they used to call me Sub, and it was good to have a nickname until they told me it stood for substandard. And this is called The Absence of Dogs. Actually, you could join in on this, because it just says The Absence of Dogs a lot of times. And rather than just me saying it loads and loads of times, which is a bit dull, perhaps some of you could say it.
Absence of dogs.
Situations vacant of the canine presence.
The absence of dogs.
The supermarket dog food aisle.
The absence of dogs.
The indoor pool.
The absence of dogs.
The rule.
The absence of dogs.
The operating theatre, but not in the animal hospital.
The absence of dogs.
The surface of Mars.
The absence of dogs.
Beyond even the emptied kennel where the odour of dogs remains, if only infinitesimally.
The absence of dogs.
The penalty shootout.
The absence of dogs.
The miniature village.
The absence of dogs.
Cinderella.
The absence of dogs.
The Popemobile.
The absence of dogs.
The man alone with his best friend, who is a man... whom he is scared to tell he loves, or maybe he is too lazy. The father and daughter who cannot take each other in each other's arms and squeeze till out pop the watery pips of untold feeling. The beloved who left him because he took for granted her and never said, I need you. The beloved who left a note saying, find someone else to feed you. The beloved who took the toothbrush, the ashtray, and the china dogs.
The absence of dogs.
Cats. And that's the end. Thank you. Little story for you. Weekender. Arriving in Grangeover Sands, I popped down into the town to get myself some condoms, just in case. Then made my way up the hill to the hotel. In the foyer, there was a huge dog, a Great Dane, I think, which moved about with difficulty. The person at the reception desk spoke familiarly with the dog and had an intriguing toupee. After receiving my key and Weekender welcoming letter, I took my duffel bags up the Grand Victorian staircase to my room, number 110. To my delight, I was at the front of the hotel with a wonderful view of the gardens and greenery beyond. To my dismay, I discovered rather a lot of dog muck in the bathroom. After reporting my discovery, I was apologetically moved to the room next door, number 111, which had an equally enchanting view, but from a slightly different angle. I settled down to enjoy my welcoming letter. Dear guest, it began disappointingly, but then the text went on less formally, inviting me for drinks with the other guests at 6:30 p.m. Great, I thought, that's in half an hour from now. After a quick sort out and shower, I made my way down the grand old Victorian staircase to face my fellow weekenders. I was to discover that they were all at the senior citizen end of the age spectrum, apart from two young people jabbering into their mobiles, whom I decided to ignore, introducing myself instead to a lively older woman who was talking to the hotel dog. We got chattering, and I discovered that she shared my interest in railway travel and the television programme Blockbusters. Our conversation was curtailed when she went up to bed at 8 o'clock, but not before we had agreed to take the train to Barrow-in-Furness the following morning. For the remainder of the evening, I chatted with the dog. Upstairs, I mixed up my complimentary cup of cocoa and relaxed reflectively in my complimentary armchair. It hadn't been the best birthday I'd had. But it certainly wasn't the worst. It was certainly the second worst, though, I argued with myself. Stop your moaning and turn on the telly. I did as I was ordered, and suddenly I perked up. They were advertising a new program called Bob's Your Uncle, and for a moment I thought this referred to Bob Holness, the quizmaster in Blockbusters, but it didn't. However, the night saw a tall fall of snow, which considerably increased my relish for the next day's outing. Dora understandably greeted the sight of the white with less enthusiasm on account of her greater brittleness of bone. However, we made our way down to the station without mishap and happily sat reading our respective morning papers as we awaited the 10 o'clock from Preston. I said to Dora that it was a very good sign if people felt relaxed enough to sit reading things together, and Dora said she'd appreciate it if I didn't interrupt her while she was reading, and she'd prefer it if I called her Mrs. Phelps. That evening, when I knocked on her door to go down to the party, Mrs. Phelps appeared with a smile and a slice of cucumber, which she described to me as Martian Holy Communion. I'm nearly ready, and I won't be needing these, she said, taking off her spectacles and turning into a dog. My own costume was what I described as a bloke tree, not an oak tree, a bloke tree. It consisted of the leaves I'd sewn onto my shirt and plenty of brown paper wrapped tightly about my legs. Soon I was hopping happily down the Grand Hotel staircase, preceded by the excited yaps and yelps of Mrs. Phelps. Although apparently the notice I'd seen in the foyer was out of date and there was no fancy dress party scheduled for that evening. Steamed pudding. At our school, you had to have everything, and you had to eat everything. And for some years, I would slip my steamed pudding in my pocket, disposing of it later in the playground bin. But one day, I decided I was too old to behave like this, and I put up my hand and said, "Please, miss, I can't eat this steamed pudding." And Miss said that I was mistaken. And I would have all lunch break and after school and possibly the rest of my life, if necessary, to prove it. She got back to her task of crossing out people's work and left me with mine. It was slow, unpleasant, 3/4 of an hour of held breath and pretending to be anywhere else but the present, but eventually there was no more steamed pudding to be seen. My bowl scraped as clean as someone who adored the stuff. Neatly and quietly, I put down my spoon. Then she put down her pen and smiled. Not the smile she had when she was caning someone, but the smile of someone who has asked you to demonstrate your love by doing the impossible, and unaccountably, it has been done. A smile as if she understood how I hated steamed pud. "I want to give you something for doing that," she said. Those mouthfuls weren't enough to feed a little mouse. and I imagined an outrageous benevolence. Possibly the confiscations of another boy. Possibly 1,000,000 points for my house. Probably a joy beyond my imagining. She beckoned me close, and from out of her desk, she handed me a second helping. We need a dog owner to answer these questions. 12 simple questions about your dog. A dog owner who's happy to do that, come and stand here on the mic. It is you. It's you, madam. Come and stand on the microphone. What is your name? Just said the...
Caroline.
Caroline, you might as well broadcast your name. How long have you had your dog?
3 years.
How long is your dog?
It's about as long as that. It's not good for the radio, though, is it?
No, but they have to use their imaginations. That's the whole thing about radio. Would you describe your dog as lucky?
Very lucky. Very lucky.
Why is that?
I'm its owner. Yeah,
very good. Have you ever placed a pair of spectacles on your dog? If so, where?
Last night.
No.
I did, honestly. Yeah, last night I did. Because I was excited about coming along and seeing you here today, and it was just something to do.
It's getting a bit worrying, this. What is it that makes your dog bark?
Shouting its name.
What is it that makes your dog tick?
Sticking a clock up its arse.
Sticking what up its arse?
No, that was a joke. That was a clock, but it's not funny.
Is your dog a stick fancier?
No, not really. Won't chase them.
No. Does your dog make unpleasant smells?
Yes.
Do you clean them up?
Well, no, but they come in handy. The smells come in handy. For when it's someone else, and they can blame it on the dog.
Right. And finally, do you mark them out of 10?
On occasion, I have done, yeah. Yeah.
I think a round of applause for this.
Thank you.
And it's almost time for us to leave you now. And I'd like you to give your thanks here at the Waterstones. Not Waterstones, sorry, Borders. Bookshop in Oxford Street. And so could you please show your appreciation for Keith Moore on the bass here. And the programme was produced by Nigel Piper. A round of applause for Nigel. On the gaffer tape. It's almost time to leave you. It's nearly time to go. If you've just come in and you're wondering if the show is only just beginning, I'm afraid the answer's no.